A61, number 4A.
All right, let's start about thoughts and divine thoughts and human thoughts. Mrs. Eddy talks about God and his thoughts. God and his capitalized thoughts. Does God have thoughts? No. Why does she say then? God and his thoughts, if God hasn't thought. You see, we challenge Mrs. Eddy, and say, you're right, God and his thoughts, and we say, God hasn't any thoughts, don't we? Yeah? Is this a contradiction? No? Why not?
Possibly, again, she's just using the English language to her best ability to convey a sense of what this infinite mind is doing. It's a sort of like a stepping stone for human consciousness.
So you feel it, it's a figure of speech, huh? Or is there more behind it than just a figure of speech?
Yes, the whole idea of your consciousness as divine thoughts.
You see, that's it, huh? It is a figure of speech, but there is something very deep behind it. Namely, and this is something which we will have to consider in the study of the synonymous terms very much, namely that there is a Christ in being. And the Christ is always that which translates the spiritual right down to every plane of existence, whatever that plane of existence is. It translates it not only to the spiritual plane as ideas, it translates itself also to the mental plane, to the psychical plane, even to the material plane. And so we have to take into consideration the way mind translates itself to the human. Therefore, what happens here is that mind, which only knows ideas, which does not think in its own realm, has the power of translating itself to the human plane, not only to the divine plane, to the human plane. And the moment it translates itself to another plane than the divine, the phenomena changes. The phenomena changes, ideas change into divine thoughts. See? So, thoughts are a translated form of idea. Sorry, that was wrong what I said. Divine thoughts. Divine thoughts are translated form of a divine idea. Yes? Angels are God's thoughts, passing from God to man. Can you see? Angels are symbols, for what? For God's thoughts. But we said God doesn't think. So what does she want to express? She wants to express that when God's idea translates themselves to human consciousness, they appear to human consciousness, not to God. To human consciousness, they appear as divine thoughts. As God's thoughts. We call them divine thoughts. We call them God's thoughts. Therefore, they become attributes and not qualities of God. Do you see the difference between qualities and attributes? Qualities are those, it's that nature which is innate in reality. Well, it is what it is, no matter if I see it or don't see it, if I realize it or don't realize it. Those are qualities. Attributes are that which I attribute to something, which I, so to say, stick on something. And these are attributes. God's thoughts do not exist. They don't exist. There is in reality is no think, because God has no brain to think with. Has no brain. Cannot have its own thoughts. But now, you see, Mrs. Eddy has given us a saving science, and therefore she had constantly to translate the spiritual realm right down to the human realm, so that it is a saver for us. But we must see, and this is something which people don't see who study Christian Science, they don't see that through translation the phenomena is changing without losing its identity. I'm putting this in another way. Do you know the chemical formula for water? H2O. H2O. This H2O, as we know, can have three different phenomena. It's still H2O. If it can be vapor, you say vapor? Vapor? Yeah? It can be wet water, and it can be ice. According to the temperature, it is either vapor, water, or ice. Three different phenomena. They are very different. Vapor and ice are very different, don't you think so? The identity is the same. It's H2O. It's the same identity, and the same identity as various phenomena. According to what? And that's the important thing. According to the dimension, according to the level. Can you? Yes?
H2O is the expression as an acid, and HOH is the expression as a base. It's a neutral, but it actually partakes of both qualities.
Wonderful. It is neutral, so to say, H2O. It's neutral. But it has a phenomena. It has a phenomena and appears in three different forms. Now, people can quarrel and say, this is ice, and the other one can say, this is vapor. And the other one can say, this is H2O. And they have three different statements. What is right? Huh? All say the same thing, it's H2O, but they speak from different levels. Can you see the arguments that go on in Christian Science, among Christian scientists? They argue endlessly until midnight, and then they fall to sleep. They are so tired. And have not come to any conclusion, and yet they may have been saying the right thing, you see. And yet it is not right, because they are not aware of the levels.
Actually, I think this gets back to my argument with the board of directors. It does not seem to be any recognition on their part that there are different levels of consciousness, of understanding.
Oh, I know. All right. Well, this is generally called dimensionalism in the various science against reductionalism. Many who are sitting here may remember way back in 1970, I think, two or three, I was showing you the dimensional sense. Do you remember I did draw a cylinder? Do you remember a cylinder that has three dimensions? Now, when the light falls on that cylinder in a certain way, say horizontally on that cylinder, what you see as a shadow on the wall is a rectangular form. Or if the light falls from the top down, and what you see on the two-dimensional floor is a sphere. Therefore, you have, say, three different forms. Again, a cylinder, a rectangular, and a sphere. And you say, these are three different phenomena. Are they three different phenomena? Yes, they are three different phenomena of what? Of one identity. It's the same identity. You see? That is what's called dimensionalism. To begin to think in the way that something that has an identity does not need to appear always as the same phenomena. It appears as many different phenomena, but not at random. We have to know on which level, on which dimension. The cylinder is always a cylinder in the three-dimensional concept. But the moment you translate from a three-dimension to two-dimension, a flat, the wall is a two-dimensional thing. If you translate that, the phenomena changes. Now this is what Mrs. Eddy tries to show in the textbook. That an identity appears in different forms on different levels of consciousness. Therefore, God has never thoughts. God's thoughts are what? Are ideas translated to a lower dimension of consciousness, to the human level of thinking. There they appear as divine thoughts, not as human thoughts, not as mortal thoughts. There they appear as divine thoughts, as God's thoughts. So they are translated forms. They are not the ideas of mind. And therefore, in our study, we must see that we exclude at the beginning these translated forms, or we never get really to the purity of what mind or what any synonymous term means. But we stay now with thoughts. We were discussing what shall we do with thoughts, because the Christian Science movement talks all about thoughts. Good thoughts, sent me a good thought, positive thoughts, and so on. And that we see this is not mind. This business of sending a good thought and think about me at 2 o'clock tomorrow, I have a business arrangement at 2 o'clock, and I really should put that business through it. I will make quite a bit of money, and you can get 10% of it if it goes through. All that business is thought transference. It's in the realm of thinking and not in the realm of ideas. Yeah. All right. Then we come to the next, to light. Mind is the light. Do you like that? Is light an idea of mind? A biblical symbolism, huh? We have to be very careful, huh? Yeah. Up to now, really, we were using abstract ideas, abstract terms. And we have to be careful not to take too many biblical symbols or symbols of nature into our list. Because it dilutes, actually, the whole concept of a synonymous term. Light is so much used in the Bible and in everyday language as a symbol, as a for what? Is light really an idea? It isn't an idea, huh? It's actually a symbol for an idea. But it has become so used to us that we translate it at once into an idea. But we could easily leave it out, see? It stands for, what do we have under light? It presents light, the mind presents an idea, illumines, yeah?
Comprehension.
Yeah, comprehension, inspire thought, vision, discovery, yes? Enlightenment, all that you can put in. And it all has to do somehow with the concept that mind... See, she brings in now something more, you see. All through the first 30, 40 ideas, it was all the creative sense, the creative, producing, making. And now comes suddenly in that which is being made is an emanation of what? An emanation of ideas. So you have created an emanation of ideas. What does it do to the human? It brings to the human light, enlightenment. vision. So you can see that most of these terms here are actually not ideas. They are again translated forms of ideas. Because mind doesn't discover. Mind knows. Huh? Mind inspires thought. Well, you see, it's a translated sense. How mind comes forth in the human plane. What does it do in the on the human plane? It is actually not a pure idea. Huh? It's not a pure idea. And we'll see what is the pure idea. Well, behind it is idea, and then afterwards we'll see knowing. Mind knows. Huh? Mind is intelligence. We have then afterwards. But can you see, therefore, how exact we must be? Because if from the human standpoint, from the human standpoint, we need inspiration, we need more vision, we need more discovery, we are not going to see that mind is discovery, that mind is vision, because mind doesn't know about that. Mind only knows its own ideas, and therefore you work only rightly to get vision, and you don't work that mind has vision, but that mind knows all. This translates itself to the human as vision. Yeah? Can you see how we are polishing now a little bit our compendium? And to see that we must somehow make the difference between ideas and the translated phenomena of ideas, of mind. It's quite true, naturally, that vision or illumined thought is not a translated form of soul or of love. Huh? It's a translated form of only one synonymous term, namely mind. Huh? So they have also their specific background, these human qualities. And therefore it is necessary to see what that background is. Therefore if I am at the point where I want to analyze a situation, where I want to discover the right idea, I'm not going to see that mind discovers, because mind cannot discover. Mind knows all. If mind would be able to discover, then it would say, I don't know something, but I'm going to know what I don't know. Mind knows all. That's the idea behind it. And therefore, we would work on the concept, on the consciousness of seeing that mind knows all, that mind is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-understanding, all-knowing, all-intelligence, which translates itself to us as inspiration, vision, discovery, greater insight, more illumination. But these are translated forms. We come to the next one. You have what? Mind?
Manifests.
Yes. Why does what has manifest to do with mind? Why? I ask you now this week hundred and hundred times, always the same thing, just method. Why do you feel that manifest is an idea of mind? If you wouldn't have any knowledge now of Mrs. Eddy says that all is infinite mind and it's infinite manifestation, and you say Mrs. Eddy says so, if you would have a sense of manifestation, why would you attribute manifestation to the category of mind and not to soul or not to love?
It's the will to express itself. Mind has the will to express itself because it is creator, it is the producer, it has activity, it has power. Therefore, it has to produce something, it has to express itself, it has to create within itself, which is itself, idea.
Yeah. I would have given you the highest mark if you would have left out just the first term, mind does this. You should do it the other way around, what you have actually done. what you have done wonderfully. You say, what does manifest mean? What is the inner nature of manifestation? The inner nature of manifestation is you need power. Without power, you have no manifestation. You need action. Without action, there is no manifestation. You need, therefore, a cause and a creator in order to manifest. Can you see? Therefore, it must be mind. You place it in which category? Can you see how you should do it? How you should understand these ideas? By seeing that these ideas blend with the nature of other ideas. And when you see with which they blend, then you can say, well, these are all ideas of mind. Yeah?
Isn't that true of all the other synonymous terms?
Yes, yes. Yes, it's true of all the synonymous terms. But why didn't you put manifest under soul?
Because it goes better under mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It goes better under mind. You see, that's the reason. Yeah. Sure. Because manifest in itself, the meaning of manifest itself, blends with all these qualities which we find on the mind. Yeah. So you have manifestation. Mr. Zeddy also speaks about the power of expression. That's the same thing, The power of expression. It's she speaks about the impartation of mind. Yeah. Conveys impression, she says. Conveyance, manifestation, impartation. See, this has all to do with the activity of mind bringing out its own expression. We go to the next one, all-knowing. Now we come to really somehow to a new category of ideas in mind. Now we come to the knowing sense. Therefore, in a way, it would have been much better in the compendium if we would have put all that light and illumines and inspired thought after the mind of, after all-knowing and after intelligence and after mind of Christ, which comes afterwards, because they are translated form. So, let's first see the idea that stands behind the light. And the illumination is that mind is all-knowing. This is one of the big ideas of mind. What do you have under all-knowing as secondary ideas?
Knows.
Comprehends. Apprehends. Perceives. Foretells. Foresees, informs, yes,
all hearing,
information, you could put there, information, you could put there, conceives, mind conceives, reasons, reasoning, insight. Now, yeah. Now, can you see that if we say all-knowing, we more or less include all those as a secondary one? If it's all-knowing, then it certainly apprehends, it certainly comprehends, it certainly perceives, it certainly can test all the informations. Can you see that actually we need to know only a very few typical ideas of each synonymous term, and then through our own sense of synonymy, we can enlarge this list quite easily. So if I read mind comprehends, I don't read anything very new when I have first known that mind knows. Once Mrs. Elliot said mind knows all, is all knowledge, and she says that right in the first chapter of the textbook that mind is all-knowing, then I already have the whole list of, therefore, mind will perceive, will apprehend, will comprehend, will conceive the idea, will have all the information, and so on, and so on, and so on. So in a way, we enlarge the idea, but I want to show you that the list is actually very small. It's only a matter of feeling the spiritual sense of the terms. We come to the next one, intelligence. Well, intelligence is naturally one of the big ideas again that we usually attribute to mind. That's a big concept, that mind, the universal cosmic mind, is that mind which knows all and which is the universal intelligence. We usually attribute that to mind. And here we get it as a quality of being. Yeah. What is... Then you have there are subtones, for instance, wisdom. Can you see how wisdom... Is wisdom an idea of mind? It is not, huh? It is again a translated form. Now, can you see in the third degree, Mrs. Eddy starts the third degree of understanding with wisdom. With wisdom. And then purity. They are not ideas. They are actually the translated form. You see? It is in the translation of immortal mind and mortal mind that these ideas begin to evolve. Huh? So again we see intelligence is an idea of mind. Mind, quality is that mind is intelligent. It translates itself to us, to the human, as wisdom. Namely, to choose the right. That's our wisdom. And therefore you can see why at the beginning Mrs. Eddy would, in the textbook, capitalize wisdom. She had it capitalized, I think, up to 1891. Wisdom was capitalized. And then she put it into lower case. Because she could see this is not the nature of being. Huh?